Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on Camel X. Happy Wednesday to you, right? What a weird week. Strange. Holiday tomorrow on a Thursday.
Is it the worst day or is it Wednesday? Which is the worst day of a holiday?
Wednesday. Because Thursday you can take a flyer and take off in 2 days and use some vacation time. But yeah, Wednesday is the worst. Sorry about the Huey Lewis wheels.
It's fine.
You don't like Huey Lewis?
It's
fine.
It's too joyful.
Fine. Yeah, he's too happy.
He's too happy about life.
Poor guy.
Hip to be square. I think
you don't have to do that voice.
I don't know. I was trying to be a nerd. I'm not good at it.
No, you miss nerd by a couple of levels there. Straight into offensive. Oh God, I don't want to start talking about Biden, so we're not going
to. Good. Potato salad's underrated.
That's so weird that you said that. Do you know what we're gonna do?
What?
You know what a report card is on the DGS?
No.
So a report card is where you take things and you rank them from, like, your report card, A through F, and it's best things about summer.
Huh.
You're pretty close to potato salad.
I'm telling you, it's underrated. People don't appreciate.
And, I had it just last night at Lester's.
There's
my side.
So many things you can do with that sucker.
Like what?
You can put mayonnaise in it. You can put mustard in that dog. You don't want to do both.
Mm.
But it's underrated. And then you got, when you leave the peel on the potato.
Then
it
it's
takes
a whole
on
new
a
thing.
Whole different experience, and it's amazing,
it's
and it explodes
different.
In your mouth like a firework. It's the greatest thing ever.
You're like the potato salad of people.
I love potato salad.
It's the Bubba Gump of potato salad.
I love potato salad.
I do too.
I'm not gonna be
Redskin potato salad with the chopped up boiled eggs.
The stuff. Oh, boom. Put the eggs in there.
Yeah. Boom.
No. I feel like Straub's has a like a horseradish.
Salad.
Their chicken salad's great, but they got like a horseradish potato salad.
You know my favorite? Cheap, from the store, in a container, yellow mustard potato salad.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
Schnucks makes a good one.
Yep. Schnucks makes a good one.
Yep.
Now, you eat it with a fork or a spoon?
I'll go either way, but I prefer a fork.
Yeah.
Me too.
That's kind of where I come out. Although, if you're going to eat it out of the container, I would strongly recommend the
scoop
spoon.
Scoop the sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game changer, by the way, and all of those is bacon in there.
Yeah.
Oh, throw some bacon in there.
It is anything you put bacon
in. Yeah, I know, but especially potatoes.
Yeah.
Andrew, did you have any food fights last night?
No,
did
I didn't.
Did you report back to Megan how it went?
Here's the thing. I don't know how to... I'm making these things, okay? It's just happening. And I had told her this already, like, on Sunday. It was like, look, you don't have to eat it. I'll eat yours if you don't want it, but I have to make them.
I brought it up at dinner last night, got a good laugh.
Yeah, I have to see what it's
and
like.
And then Phoebe pointed out it's just a chili dog.
Yeah. No, it's not really, though. It's not really, though, right? Because chili has chili. And this would not be
hot
quite
dogs
so,
have hot dogs.
I can't believe he's not a head chef somewhere, this guy.
this would not be quite so elaborate as to put chili in
Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. Yeah. That's why the reviews weren't so good.
And you wouldn't eat them with a hot dog bun, you eat them with a hammy burger bun. Because they would be they'd be far more burger shaped than hot dog shaped once I get them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. If I can find a picture of them, I'll send you the picture.
How are they round? How do you make a hot dog round?
So you take a dog, you incise it down the middle, right, while leaving the ends intact, but you can see through the dog, right? So you're making kind of a loop with your dog, and then you fill the center of that loop with ground beef, and then you just grill the whole deal.
Loose ground beef or like a patty?
Yeah, you want to almost like a meatball.
Meatball in the hot dog.
Yeah. Hot dog meatballs.
You bring in John around.
Yeah.
We were discussing this on the break yesterday, and everyone was concerned that the hot dog would cook so much faster than the hamburger.
That's correct.
Yes, I had thought of that, and my idea for that was
yeah, what do I think he hasn't thought of?
This man knows that there's chili in a chili dog.
My idea was to kind of brown the burger on the grill before putting it into the dog.
Will you send us all a video when you do this?
I will try. Yeah. If it works.
Try?
Well, because it might not actually work. I've never done it before. Okay. I'll take video of whatever it is that I come up with for making this work.
Okay, here's how the report card works. I'm going to throw out an aspect of the summer.
All right.
And you can give it an A to an F, and then we have 11 submissions, so we will crown one as an A+ when we get all done. Okay, ready?
Yes.
The long days. Is that an A? Is that a C? Is that a D? By the way, all these things are good. There's no like someone slapping you in the.
It's all relative, right? Right.
Yeah.
That's a B to me.
Yeah.
I'm like a high C, low B, like something like that.
I was just going to say like a D. I mean, I like the long days and everything, but there's so many other great things about summer.
I would say B. I love a long day.
I'm giving it a D.
Oh.
I look better in the dark.
That sounds like a creature of the night.
We're all C.
Now, we can change these two. It's sort of like Congress. We have to negotiate, and we can move things up and move things down. Vacations.
Oh, well, A.
Yeah, that's high A.
B.
If you take them.
B. Because something almost always goes wrong. So it's B.
That's a good point.
I mean, have you ever had a perfect vacation? No. Something will go wrong. It'll rain. You'll be disappointed at a restaurant you pick that you've never gone to before and you'll never go back to again.
Didn't he just have sort of a perfect vacation over across the pond?
Oh, I did. That was perfect. Yeah.
Take that all back.
Hi-A for John. Grilling, burgers, hot dogs.
Both.
Hot dog burgers,
man, that's also a B.
B or A. I mean, that grilling stuff just makes everything better.
It's a C. I got fired.
No, oh, yeah.
The kids won't let me barbecue anymore.
Oh, that's a bad.
Why? What'd you do?
They'll be taking your car keys next.
You know, the flame, it wasn't good.
Are you not good at it?
I think I'm very good at it, Dave. But the kids don't think I'm very good at it.
Maybe they're wrong.
I think they are. What do they know? They're kids.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to put that in B.
All right.
Fireworks.
It's a D. The D. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, this isn't a very fireworks friendly room. I would say like D or F. I won't be going out of my way to see any.
Okay. F. I almost blew up my house a few years ago.
Wait, so they took away your grilling privileges, but not your fireworks privileges?
Yeah, they didn't fire you from fireworks?
Well, I was given one job to light this stack of stuff. That boom, 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 one of those deals. Mm-hmm. Put it on the hill there, and I lit it up, and then it tipped over facing the house.
Everybody's like, incoming!
And put it on the hill.
Somewhere between look and out, it exploded.
Friendly fire.
I mean, there was crap going everywhere. People running, screaming. It was more like the Hindenburg back there.
Dude, Stacy Gill's brothers had metal pipes with bottle rockets, and they could hit you from 50 yards away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, bottle rocket wars were a thing. Yeah.
Right to the chest.
Mm. We used to put them in the wiffle ball bat has the little hole in the bottom.
Yep.
And we would stick the with the stick, with the bottle rocket and shoot it at people.
Yeah.
Planet Granite, man.
Yeah.
Well, we did that in Detroit too.
The swimming pool.
You know what? Are we doing just summer or 4th of July?
Just summer.
Man, I never go swimming. That's the thing. Like, it's fun. Yeah,
it's always crowded, man. It's always, unless it's like a person's backyard pool.
Yeah, it's like a, that's D or F for me. Because someone's always got, there's always.
I'll say B. I love swimming.
I do too, but private swimming pool, maybe.
You always have to worry about somebody's pee-pee. I don't like it.
I can't swim.
I mean, you don't have to worry about that.
I choose to.
You choose to worry about
I
choose to worry about their pee-pee. The Muni and Riverport Outdoor Music.
Outdoor music?
Mm-hmm.
That's a B.
Go inside.
That's a B.
I'm in the wrong crowd here for summer report card.
I want to go inside.
I'd say give it a C.
Yeah, I'm right there.
B, live music. Can't beat it.
I love live music. I don't need it to be outside.
Yeah, same.
Six Flags.
Oh,
Come on,
B plus.
F for the flag?
I haven't been since I was a child.
Yeah, that's a B plus. Yeah.
I went like 10 years ago and it was like,
now, I'm going generic one, though, because I've never been to the one here.
And I'm too scared to go on any of the roller coasters or the rides that aren't roller coasters.
A, it put me through college.
No, that's right.
That's true.
You were wearing this shirt, weren't you?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
What was his name? Funky the Clown?
Doodles.
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 Doodles the Clown.
Funky. We don't talk about Funky.
I was playing the piano there.
But Doodles stole his girl.
Doodles was being a clown.
Okay.
And we used to play chess during breaks. It was great.
Oh, right.
And he stole your girlfriend or you stole his?
No, we're not like that.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Andrew.
He was a clown, Andrew.
You could steal a clown's girlfriend.
Yeah, you can steal a clown.
And a clown can steal yours.
Yeah, very easily.
That happened.
But I'd ruin your self-image with it. She left me for the clown. Oh, crap.
Summer clothing.
Oh, man. That's got to be like an A, right?
Summer clothing?
Yeah.
Shorts, sandals, t-shirts,
sandals. T-shirts.
Yeah, board shorts. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
I've always liked layers.
Yeah, I like layers.
Yeah, you
too.
Do yeah. like layers.
I love layers.
You're my most layered friend.
Oh, by yeah. far.
You're an onion.
I love it. Love it.
I hate summer clothing. Hate it.
Do you?
Look at me. I mean, I don't like it.
Same.
Now, if you want to clear the pool out, I can take care of that.
I like pockets on the. I like jackets, so I could put my hands in pockets. Putting your hands in your pants pockets isn't the same. Doesn't feel the same. It's not as comfortable.
You've got a theme going. Worrying about the pee-pee.
Right?
baseball.
Oh, I mean, A+.
A+.
Everyone agree? Okay. Different than long days, the warm weather. Which for me is a D or an F because I hate the warm
weather. Yeah, I'd probably put it right at a C would be where I'm at.
I'm D or F because I love that 60, 65.
But you kind of have a balance. So, like, if you take the summer as a whole, the average is probably like 80. Because early it's in the 70s, low 80s, then you get the hundreds, but it's not always hundreds.
C.
Yeah, I'd give it a C as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I like cool wind on your face. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Just makes you feel alive.
Okay, here's what we're looking at. We've got in A, baseball and vacation. Pretty strong. B, we have grilling and I should have written this down better. Something I can't read. In C, long days, warm weather, music, and Six Flags. In D, the pool and warm weather clothing, and in F, fireworks. So let's move clothing to F, when no one seemed to care about that. Let's move the warm weather down to D. We got that. Good. Okay. What do we want to make the A+? Baseball or vacation?
Everyone seemed to agree.
I see
baseball.
A lot more baseball than I go on vacation.
But yep. Vacations are great.
It's a bigger part of the summer. Vacation might be a week
or
two.
Day.
Baseball's every day.
Baseball's every single day.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
That'll work.
There you go.
We did it.
We did it.
That's how Congress does it.
Yeah, we did that in like 6 minutes, and Congress does nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would have waited for an executive order.
Yeah. Well done. So I owe Chris an apology. I said he's too concerned with the pee-pee, but he just showed me a picture that his friend took on a flight. Holy Lord, can you tell the story?
Yeah, just so... This guy, Ron Kittle, used to play for the White Sox. He played back in the 80s. And he's on a flight. I don't know where he is, but he posted it on Instagram. And I haven't been able to get any more information. But he's in the very front of the plane. And the guy directly across the aisle from him must have been drunk already. Stood up and just started urinating in the aisle.
I mean, Ron just tweeted the photo of anybody wants to see it.
So it's
at Chris Ronji.
What do you do?
Like, I don't know.
If you kind of want to go like United 93 on them, you know, and just take them down.
Let's roll. Let's roll.
We'll worry about this later, you know.
I don't know if this was end of the flight, before the flight took off. I don't know what happened, but then he posted two photos. It was one of the guy going, and he censored it. And the next photo was the police coming through the airplane door to get him.
Man.
I mean, I've been intoxicated before. I don't think I've never done that. How do you not know where you are?
Yeah. Maybe it was like a sleeping pill and alcohol.
Ambien.
Possibly.
Yeah. Oh.
Because a lot of people will do that on a flight.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What do you do in that case?
I've been all forms of inebriated. I don't think I've ever been bad enough, and I've been pretty bad back in my 20s, to urinate on a plane. I mean.
So what if you're sitting next to him? What do you do? Because he is literally right across the aisle from him.
Probably move if you can.
Well, he's blocking the aisle.
Yeah. See, I keep thinking violence.
Yeah.
I've been very clear that if I'm on a flight with you and you stand up and you start praying, you're praying ass to get knocked down. You just don't do things on a plane that you wouldn't, you know, that you do in other places.
I wouldn't want to get pee on me, though.
Like, I was like, why are they going to pee if they're praying, Chris?
Well, this guy.
No, I'll tackle him midstream.
Wow. Even if it gets on you?
I mean, dude, if you're in the air and a guy starts urinating on the plane, you just don't know what's next.
Right. That's a good point.
What's that guy? Yeah.
Only a few options.
Do you know what you just did?
Jeez.
What?
God, today I was doing my usual show prep. You go to all the websites and I was looking at Drudge and the headline, the quote was RFK Jr. denies eating dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his campaign is. And people are more concerned with the dog than the babysitter.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep. They're really up in arms about the dog.
I mean, one headline's terrible, but like the other one is...
No, the other one's worse.
And he doesn't even deny it. Like, he gets asked the question, yeah, and he's just like, yeah, I've said I had skeletons in my closet. And like, yeah, no. What you say is, I didn't do that. I didn't do the sexual assault. You don't just be like, well, I told you I had things.
I missed this story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
was photographed holding up a cooked carcass of an animal and eating it.
In Korea.
Oh. And his friend said it was a dog, and he told me you need to eat dog when you're here. He says, no, it's a goat. They checked with veterinarians. They said, no, it's a dog.
By the rib cage.
Yeah. By the rib cage. And then he was accused of, in some way, sexually assaulting a 23-year-old babysitter. And his response was something like, I told you I'm not a church guy. Like, literally, that's what he said. I'm not a church boy.
Not a choir. Was it choir boy or?
Something about church.
Yeah.
We have the audio.
Oh, let's hear it.
Let me just throw it in right here. 1 second.
I am not a church boy. I am not running like that. I said I had a very, very rambunctious youth. I said in my announcement speech that I have so many skeletons in my closet that if they could all vote, I could run for king of the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this Vanity Fair is recycling 30-year-old stories, and I'm not, you know, going to comment on the details of any of them, but I am who I am.
You're talking there about the nanny situation. I mean, I do have to ask her. I mean, are you denying it or not?
I'm not going to comment on it.
All right. Well, I gave you the opportunity.
If you're directly asked about committing a crime against another human being and you didn't do it, isn't your first thing, I didn't do it?
That's correct.
Like, even if you did do it, wouldn't your first answer be, I didn't do it?
I mean, look at Trump. He didn't sleep with a porn star. You know, yeah, that'd be your first reaction.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear him not even try and deny any of it. Like, you don't usually...
Except the dog.
You don't usually
hear
it.
He's pushing back on the dog.
Yeah.
He did push back on the dog.
It's just surprising with that, like, you'd think that he would immediately be like, no, I never did anything like that. And instead he's like, yeah, I'm kind of a jerk.
You wonder how long they've been holding on to that one, because he wasn't really that relevant until what's happening with Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And then he was suddenly more relevant, or at least possibly relevant. And boom, next day those stories came out. Which doesn't mean he didn't do it. Yeah, doesn't mean he's not responsible.
Definitely more impactful in the race, right? Because when we looked at those composite polls, it was Trump leading, I think, by 1.5. But then there was like 8 points that belonged to RFK Jr.
Yeah.
I still don't quite understand who he appeals to more. Whether it's
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, Trump or Biden voters. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know Sue Thomas, our friend, is a big fan of his. She's
really?
Pretty conservative. But I have some pretty liberal friends who are also fans. So I'm watching the press conference over John's head here about Biden, and they just keep going back and forth. It's been reported that Obama has spoken to Biden, and that many people are reaching out to him, that he said the next few days are critical to decide whether I'm going to stay in the race or not. Now, they're saying that is absolutely patently false, that he's never said that, he's staying until the end. So it's like trying to get a squirrel to come take a nut out of your hand. You know, you're just like, just give him some space, maybe he'll do the right thing. But people are moving ahead. On Drudge, the front page story is a picture of Kamala Harris that says it's her party now. The next story behind that is who will she pick as her running mate? I mean, people are moving on with it at their own peril. Just two things I want to say about this, and you guys can comment on it or we can move on. Because I get the sense that people are kind of tired of hearing about it or sensing that we're beating up on an old guy or something. But his excuse, he said it wasn't an excuse, it's an explanation. I say that all the time. I understand the logic there. That he did a worldwide tour and he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have gone to two different countries. But here's the thing. When my life here is much, much more difficult practically than when the president is flying to different countries. He's flying in the Ritz-Carlton, the Four Seasons, in the sky. He's on Air Force One. It's nicer than any of our homes.
Got a bedroom.
He's treated like a king. He has anything he needs at any time. He can sleep, he can nap, he can rest, he can eat, he can do anything he wants. So I don't feel sorry for presidents who travel, because they travel literally like no one else in the world travels. Secondly, he had 11 days after he came home at Camp David to rest and rejuvenate and prepare for the debates. If you cannot recover from traveling first class plus in 11 days, you are not material to be the president of the United States. That's my take on what Biden's saying about jet lag. I don't buy that. I don't feel sorry for him when it comes to that. If you are not in shape to travel as a president needs to travel, and to come back and have 11 days, almost 2 weeks, to be ready for a 90-minute debate, then you're not my guy. Here's the big thing I want to talk about, though. I'm so sick of these pansies, and I want to use a different word that starts with P, and you know what I'm talking about. The people who support President Trump, the people who support President Biden, you're a bunch of pansies, bunch of pusillanimouses, that you will not step up and you will not call out Donald Trump on anything because you're babies, and you won't step up and you won't call out Biden on anything because you're babies. There have been like two people take an official position. That's no way to be an American. Don't step up and call him out if you don't believe it. If you believe that Donald Trump is telling the truth and that he's the best guy, then by all means say that. I want you to say the truth. I want to know where you stand. Same thing goes with Biden. I have a hard time stretching my brain enough to think that there are that many people in the government who really, truly think that much of both of these guys. Thoughts?
100% the most annoying thing in our political dynamic right now is you only criticize the other team. I hate that. You should be as critical of your team, if not more so, because you should want your team to hold the higher standard, period. How many people after January 6th said, this is not acceptable, this is not okay, and now they're back to kissing ass?
A lot.
A ton, right? And how many people who have been critical of Biden over times, now that it's election season, like, no, we got to stand behind our guy. Now, I mean, like, you have to be as critical of your own as you are of the other. And that's the only way to be consistent and rational.
Maybe I got it wrong. I haven't done a head count, but it seems to me that there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who are at minimum saying, hey, that it is a concern and we should, it's okay to ask questions about it. J.B. Pritzker did that, but also said if he's the nominee, we're going to support him. You've got Doggett out of Texas who said, hey, he should probably step down. I do feel, and Nancy Pelosi said that, I think that it's legitimate to ask if that was an episode or if it is a long-term problem.
That's the question.
So I don't know. I don't get the sense that everybody is circling the wagons around him. I don't feel that way. Maybe
it doesn't have to be everybody for it to exist, though. There are the diehards that are like, nope, he's the right guy.
Well, I mean, but the difference is every Republican is on Trump's side.
The Dems are way better than the Republicans. No question about that.
Because the Republicans are afraid of losing, losing primaries if they don't get behind him 100% all the time.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we're getting a look at the next generation Democrats, that even if Biden does not pull out and he's the nominee in the fall, we now know who's behind him. We now know, like, Pritzker is in play. I guess I didn't take Pritzker as seriously as I should because he's right next door. And I just don't think of an Illinois governor being the president, but he has a lot of support.
I mean, an Illinois congressman became president.
I mean, yeah, here's the other thing about Pritzker, because let's assume they make a switch. There's going to be, it's not impossible, but there's going to be some real money challenges because the Biden-Harris campaign doesn't exist any longer, and you can't just hand that money over to the whoever campaign.
He's worth like $4 billion, isn't he?
Exactly. And so, if you are going to pick somebody, and all things being equal, you could pick somebody that's a multi-billionaire who's clearly willing to pump a whole lot of his own money. Look what he spent to be governor of Illinois. I mean, it's crazy. So he's a lot more attractive, if for no other reason than that. But they've still got a Kamala Harris problem, and I don't know. you know, I'm not a Democrat, but it would seem to me they could pick somebody that's electable for president and find an African American vice president, and minimize the collateral damage of not going with Kamala. I don't see Kamala as a particularly effective solution to the Joe Biden
problem. What is the Kamala problem?
She's not popular.
No, I mean, like, but why? To me, she's exactly my age, I believe. You don't get where she has been without being a very smart person.
Yeah.
But she doesn't come across that way. And I know people like that. Maybe I am a people like that. But I know people who have to be very smart and very capable, but they don't present that way.
Yeah, it's a likability thing, and
there's an awkwardness sometimes about her.
And when she was in those presidential debates, you know, I thought going into that 2020 election cycle, I thought Kamala Harris, you know, had a great profile to be the nominee, and I, you know, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, but she squandered that opportunity, and she didn't perform well. She's just particularly, and she's not very likable. Pritzker, whatever you may think about him, and I don't think much of him in terms of politics. But he's a likable guy, you know.
I mean, far too liberal for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I guess I don't know that much about him.
Yeah, no, he's very liberal.
Is there a, I mean, is there a Hillary comparison? Yeah. Like, because you think about, you've said it, Dave, many times, smart, qualified, did all these strong, other jobs, but people just don't like her. And for some of it, for good reason, too. I don't want to make it out like it's not any good reason. Just saying that was a big thing. It was people do not like her.
But there was about 30 years of buildup.
100%. Yes.
We hate Hillary. And
it was tied
Clinton
to Bill.
Was,
yep.
Her husband was president.
Yep.
It was going back to the 90s.
Yep.
A lot of non-Trump people, though, are looking at this and saying, and I know this because they've said it to me, fellow non-Trump people, that, Dave, I'm with you. I don't like Donald Trump. I don't want to see him back in the Oval Office. However, after watching that debate, I would rather have someone with their faculties, even if I disagree with them vehemently, and I will rely on the institutions to keep him between the guardrails, as opposed to someone who can only really think straight between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. right now, and it'll get worse up until the time he's 86. I wonder if those people would look at it and say, well, I may not like Kamala, but she certainly has control of her faculties. And so she's a better choice than Biden against Trump and would get more votes.
I guess it depends on if those people really believe that Trump and his apparatus will remain institutional. Because that's what I think the concern is for me. I just, whatever happens next, and I know there are people out there that just kind of want to tear the whole thing down and start over. It's not realistic without there being a lot of chaos. I would like somebody in office who will operate the way they're supposed to operate within institutions and take institutions seriously, because I'm kind of like you in terms of, you know, I am an institutionalist for the most part. I don't think they're all always right or all always good, but for the most part, they keep things good. And we should, to me, want somebody who's going to be in office who's not trying to tear down those walls.
How much of the appeal to all of this, though, is the whole Bannon thing, which is tear it all down?
Yes, and that's
like, is that maybe what we're talking about?
For a lot of people, yeah. That's very appealing. You know, I think as it relates to Kamala, you were talking about, Dave, I think it's a no-brainer that Joe Biden loses the election if he's the nominee. I don't think that about Kamala Harris, but I think there are far better alternatives. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you're looking at this, if you're a football coach, okay, you're going to want to have your best quarterback in the game if they're healthy. And she's not the best quarterback that they've got on this bench over here. And if the objective is to win the election, then you put your best quarterback on the field. And I don't know who that. I don't know if it's Newsom or whoever, but she's not the best quarterback on the bench.
A couple of interesting things that just came out of this press conference that just literally ended 2 seconds ago. The president says he's absolutely, positively not dropping out of the race through his spokesperson.
Why is he not saying that?
It's a good question. That's an excellent question. And the other thing that came up was that he saw his doctor the last time in January, and he's not seen the doctor since or has plans to. By your own admission, you almost fell asleep during a presidential debate. How do you not go see a doctor? That is foolish. That is un-American. That is irresponsible. If you can't take traveling on Air Force One, having 11 days to recuperate, and almost falling asleep by your own admission during a presidential debate, but you have no plans to see a doctor, this is not adding up.
Unless he has, and they don't like the news, which is possible.
In which case, you're just lying to us.
Yeah. What I don't, and I we were talking about this earlier today, John and me. I do think that it's owed to us to know what the status of both of these guys are, whatever their health is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we'll ever get full truth on it. Like, I don't think we got full truth on Trump's when his doctor said he was the healthiest president he's ever seen or whatever it was. Like, clearly that's not the case. I don't know that we would get 100% honesty on this one either. And most people's medical history situations, totally private. Not when you're in public office, I don't think.
I agree. Not at least not, especially not at that level.
You know, another thing I was thinking about with this immunity decision, where the best I can read the opinion, they have set it up like a Rube Goldberg sort of mousetrap thing, that if you're ever going to hold a sitting president liable, good friggin' luck, because they've made it so very difficult. You can't use this for evidence. You can't use motivation for evidence. You can't even look into this. Don't even ask me about that. Don't you think that under the current hyper-partisanship, having just come off of two impeachments, it's just going to make impeachment more likely, because those rules, as I understand it, would not apply to impeachment? That's a different administrative effort.
Well, yeah, because those are congressional rules, and you're not dealing with the law in that case.
Seems
and that'll be the only recourse you have.
That it would make it more likely.
Yeah.
Which which I also think impeachments are bad as well. It's really raining out there.
Yeah, the two that we've had for presidents, I didn't have a problem with either one of them.
The two impeachments?
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with the Clinton thing. Don't do stupid things. Don't lie. Don't do the bad things, and you don't have to worry about it. You know? I mean, like, I think in both cases, the proceedings were justified.
Nixon was not impeached, right?
He was going to be. He resigned before, yeah.
Yeah, a group of people went to him and said, you don't have the votes. And we're here to tell you that there are only four people supporting you in the Senate, and that if you're impeached, you're going to be impeached.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different time.
Different time.
Because people that supported him and people who were on the Republican side were on the vote saying, nope, you got to go.
And I know the Supreme Court is nonpartisan, but even I have come to just think of them as partisan now.
Yeah.
And that it's all just one big machine. And the conservative machine must just think that a Democrat president won't do anything wrong.
Or maybe they just look at the current dude and I'm like, yeah, he's not going to do that stuff.
Well, first of all, it's to me now, after what's happened the last couple of years with this particular court, it's kind of hard. You would have a very difficult time convincing me that there's not a lot of just straight partisanship happening, that it's not all ideology. I'm looking at